Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you look down from heaven. And then in all our sins, that Lord, you pick us up, Father. You chose us way before we were upon this earth, Lord, and to be a part of the family of God. And hence, Father, because of that, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way for us to come back to you. We thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. And as you approach thy word now, Father, again, Lord, help us to look upon your word, look into your word, and understand, Lord, the importance of your Spirit, taking this word, Lord, deep into our heart. And our mind, Father, be sound. The Lord, in the things that in this life that we walk, and that we manifest the truth of God with a sound mind, Father, manifesting, O Lord, the reality of the living Christ. So, Lord, bless today now. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, be seated. Psalms 34. Well, let me just read that through once. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him, and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his sins, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desire life and love many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and he that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemed the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's the truth. That's the sum of David. So now, let me finish off with this series today. You know, we are on the sound mind, which basically covered our faith. It's about our faith and our mind, our confession. Today we are going to finish off with a confession to life, okay, and happiness. There is no excuses for any of us to say that our life, we have a defeated life, our life has no purpose and so, you know, boring it is. Living a Christian life don't mean anything. It's just like everybody else. Yes, you know, the Bible said the rain fall upon the just and the unjust. Surely, of course, but we cannot say we are Christian, therefore everything will be fine, Danny, and we'll be sleeping on a bed of roses. And even so, if you were to sleep on a bed of roses, you'd be sure that there will be thorns. More thorns than it is. And just like as the Red Indian chief Abraham related about the black dog and the white dog, said, when I wasn't a Christian, I have no problem. Sure, because sinners do what they do. They sin, and they have no conscience. They don't fear anything. But when you become a Christian, you have the Spirit of Christ quickening your spirit. You become alive. And once you become alive, that's where the Indian chief said, nice problem. I have this dog fighting me inside there. The black dog and the white dog. So the question is, who wins? As Baba asked the rain angel, who wins? He said, if I feed the white dog wins. If I feed the black dog wins. Of course. So, we Christians, just because we are Christian, we are not blessed with a bed of roses as if nothing is going to happen to us. We have no sickness, we have no affliction. We have good job, we have a good car, we have good house, a good family, blah, blah, blah. That is not so. When you are a Christian, your life changes. And we are on the road. That is not easy. Because now, our mind is heightened. We are more conscious of who we are, of the thing that God has created. We are aware of what life is. What is the smallest things that God has created? The smallest, is it atom or what? A neutron, a proton, whatever you call it. A little thing, the quasar? Quasar. Smallest thing. You imagine the smallest thing and then from there how God make things get bigger, different things get bigger. You understand that, don't you? To atom, the molecule, to what, and this and that, we have ants, and then we have cockroaches, and butterflies, we have birds, and we have bigger birds. Then we have animals, God creating bigger and bigger, and then the whole earth gets bigger, and then the whole universe, look up there. Is there no God? Only the fool says, no, there's no God. The evidence are out there. So there is no excuse for us to say that we are defeated. No excuse for a defeated life. Let us go to the book of Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11. Now you're going to be quick on that because there are a lot of verses, so God, I want to close up. And I'm going to read because I printed it out so that I don't have to flip my page of the Bible, so in case I misread or put the wrong verse. Okay? So Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So this will be about those who go to tribulation that are going to give up their life. What about us in these fine Denny nations of Singapore? You know, I watched some of this documentary on YouTube. They are freak, you know. It's called Full documentary, something like that. I can't remember now. I just forgot. I happened to come across it and watch. Wow, the most dangerous road in the world, the most dangerous highway in the world, the most dangerous way to go to school. It's about 40-minute documentary, and it really took me by surprise that the way that people can lead those kinds of life. And I was watching this one, Burundi, the poorest nation in the world. In fact, I think it might be the poorest. How people struggle just to earn $2 a day. Riding a bicycle with lords of this Manara, 12 or 15 kilometers away. How many kilometers? I mean, what is the weight of those Manara? They're tied to the bike of the bicycle. China make bicycle 200 kilos. You try to balance on them, and they have to go up hills. And when they, you know, it's not possible to go up hills, many of them to come down and push. And they, those kids on the road will help to push, and they pay them perhaps under some cents. But when they see a lorry or van or what go uphill, they hold to the back of it so they can get a free ride up. And many a time when the driver says that, you know, they know that they are holding on to the vehicle behind. But sometimes when something happened in front, they couldn't see when he tried to avoid a pothole or somebody, a dog or animal rushing across the road. And when they're on the brake, those behind crash. And some of them actually get badly injured and die. And when they went down the hill, they are very happy. They can go as fast as almost 70 kilometers an hour. You just know how fast and that. And this is a poor country. And they say, wow. So it's the warfare. I mean, you know, you talk about it. Some people said it, and I said this many times. People think that, you know, God created you. I said this many times, God will not create you. God knows who you are. And this has always been a question. Whether it is a free will or is it God chosen? This was asked me by a brother again. You know, did we have a choice? Or was it because God chose and that's it? You see? And years ago, as I said this, when I posed the question, my daughter Zoe said, yeah, I believe that God made you my father. And I'm your daughter. I said, no. You can be born anywhere. You only know that you're born, you know who you are. Just imagine. Now we look at who we are here in Singapore. We are Chinese, we are Indian, whatever. But I said that you enter into a dimension, something you find yourself living in Burundi, in Africa, in a place that is very poor. You're with your mother or you're with your children. You know what I mean? Then you have a comparison. But when, if you're already there and born there, how do you compare? What is always another country? The life over another country. So you are Burundi or you are Indian. I'm Indian, I'm Burundian. You know, you are there. You see. But the thing is this, wherever we are, whether you are in India, whether you are in Africa, whether you are here in America, as a Christian, this is our life. This is reality. We cannot compare to another person, another country. It's just that we are here. Like when I was young then, before Singapore was like this, we had a hard time. I have a hard time. Singapore was just changing. And there were political problems. But somehow, this country is blessed with a good government. And that's why you young generation, Generation Z, Generation Y, whatever you are. Well, Adam said he's the last generation. That's okay. That's it. You know, so you see what I mean? If you were there before the war, you're born before the war, or born during the war, that's a different story, right? But yet as a Christian, we move on. And they love not their life. They're willing to let their life be in Christ's hand. Don't love this life, physical life, your body, your flesh, satisfy the five senses. No. Love your life that is in Christ Jesus. That is what the Bible is telling you. Amen. Have a sound mind. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 4 to 5. Verses 4 to 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. You see, it's all about our faith. No, I don't talk about the faith. If you have a real faith, hey, when you have the faith, it's the faith of Christ that is given to you. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So you should have a sound mind. Verse 5. Who is he that overcome the world but he that believed that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is a revelation given us. So we can recognize who we are. And because after all, you know, when the Spirit is given us to quicken us and then we have this new life, our mind should be renewed. Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3, 9 to 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Huh? You see what the Bible is very clear. You know, Paul, the revelation of Paul. No wonder, you know, God used him and he's willing to move away from tradition. But Peter and all the others still was very much stuck in tradition. And so when you are in tradition, you cannot learn much. That's the reason why out there, the Christian out there in traditional church, they find it very hard to learn because they are so bound by that. You know. So once when I came to the message, I realized the importance of moving away with tradition. All that. And come to the Word, the Bible become a new book to us, to me. Everything is open up, approach it, alright, with the clearness of the mind and understanding what the Word of God sent to us. So line up to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That means your old fleshy self, that kind of man. Alright, that which you are born with. Okay, put that away and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God who created Christ. Or we cannot say it that way, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. God brought Christ to us. Christ gave himself to us. So that the Spirit of God is in us, creating us a new being. A totally new person with a new mind. A renewed mind in the knowledge of God who created us. So that's why we should have this relationship. Like Friday, yeah, Brother Adebayo. Yeah, friendship with Jesus. It's not about, you know, going up there and we are below and we just, whenever we have need, yeah, we ask him. Yeah, that's a problem, right? You know, we don't have him as our friend. He said, Lord, come walk with me. Talk with me. You know. And more and more of the time when we approach God is that we ask God for this, we ask God for that. Is that not true? 99.99% all the time. So, friend, you just know it's not talking about when I go out, sit with Brother Yingfang here. You know, we go out as friends. Hey, brother, you're my friend, right? And I say, yeah. Can you buy me something? Now, all I do is ask him for something. Every time there's a friend, I ask him for something, ask for something. What then is a friend? Every time I go with him, only I ask for something. So, that doesn't make a good sense of a friend, right? Yoni, if he would ask me, Brother Gan, you want something, and buy for you. Oh, that's different. No, they are okay. I'm asking, hey, brother, can you help me? Buy me a steak. A $25 steak. I love that. Or maybe a $35. I never tried that. So, you know, you go out, only you ask. Going out, that is not a friend. But a friend is when you go out together, the friend says, hey, are you hungry? Come, let me give you a treat. So, that is different. The other side. You understand? All right. Romans 12, 1 to 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, is it the revelation of Paul in the way he writes? I kind of like this here. When I first read this verse years ago, many times, I'm amused by that thing. So you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. You use the reasonable. Correct. You see, the more I think about it, let's just read the rest anyway. And be not transformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul is talking about, you see, this mind thing, this faith thing that is in the Lord, and how that the Spirit of the Lord gets in us, so we have to think properly, not conform to this world, and things like that, and not to think ourselves higher than we ought to be. You know, that's what I was saying. Sometimes this preacher out there, the one that we showed you some weeks ago, Baruti in Congo, make himself, wow, somebody. And you have Amos, the same thing. And then we have Pentecostal, you have the charismatic. Well, look how we all be simple. You see, God will lift up man the way He will lift it up. But don't lift yourself up and put yourself on a pedestal or something like that. Don't harp so much about yourself. Oh, I'm so great, I'm this, I've done that, you know. Like what Jesus taught in the book of Matthew 7. Those that come to Him say, Lord, you know, I have healed the sick, I've done great, many mighty work, and whole crusades all over the world. Those that were sick were healed, and those crippled were walking, because I prayed for them, blah, blah, blah. You see, Paul is so humble. Yeah. But when it comes to Revelation, he can boast that it is true. Because his life proves it. You understand what I mean? If you say that you have the truth, then your life must prove it. Not a lot of words. And, you know, when he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what that is good, excellent, perfect will of God. That means to say that all the Paul here said in these three verses means all your thoughts, Christ dealing with us. We've got to give Him all our thoughts so that He may deal with us on His terms. Okay, and how that God will have His purpose. You know, Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians where you would know how that God, because of in Himself. You know, after that, He brings forth His own word and His purpose being done. So God's will must be done, God's purpose in our life must be done. So that's, you know, why Paul here is speaking, saying that a whole body of living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, is very reasonable. Just yield to Him with the mind that He has given you. And that's why we say, well, our mind is the mind of Christ, if we have the truth. Think soberly. Okay? So His purpose in we present ourselves, our body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, meaning that all our thoughts, God's dealing with us, His purpose in us, through us, in us, and for us. Everything Paul here is saying that. You understand that? Okay? We surrender and walk with Him, and that's all that we can do, and He will deal with us. Okay? So go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 18. So first of all now, before we go to that, let me say this. Remember Paul and Silas? You all remember Paul and Silas? Okay, maybe we should go, just go to the book of Acts 16. We're not going to read it, but just go to the book of Acts 16. And if you remember, in this chapter of Acts 16, Paul and Silas were arrested and put in prison. You know, and they were preaching, yeah, they were preaching the word of God. And some of the people that heard him were not happy. Why? Because there were those who were selling idols. And so, what Paul did when he was preaching there, it created a lot of hue and cry among those who were selling all those, you know, idol stuff. and they were not making the money, and so Paul was somehow arrested and put in prison with Silas. So this is one example. When they were arrested, did they break the law? They didn't break the law. They were just merely preaching the word of the gospel. But there are those people who are losing their business. They are not happy, so they complain to the government. And this is the same today in any country. It can happen. Somebody don't like you. You know, somebody, well, I remember back early days, I remember there was a sister, you know, who came to the church back then when we were combined fellowship with the Brother Lingam. And the parents were not happy that the daughter was coming to church. You see. So they create some problem. But one day I was not around, I don't know, they called the police or come some authority. You know. But the thing is that the young lady came to church willingly, was not forced to come. But you see, the parents are not in agreement with that. So they report to the authority. And so this is what happened, points out. So when they were arrested and put in prison, but they have to yield to the will of God. God's purpose, why? You understand? So when they were in prison, they are then, as what Paul said earlier on, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, accepted unto God. So they did that. Was a reasonable service? They were arrested, okay. But now in the minds, if they not conform to the word, they do not want to fight it or argue about it. Just let God have His will. Let God's purpose be done. And that's how it should be. Let God's purpose be done in our life. Because His purpose is, He do something in our life. It is for our own good. See? Okay, now, before that, let's go to Isaiah 26 verse 3 first. Okay. I should have think of that one. Isaiah 26 verse 3. I think this is what we should have when we are in trouble, in affliction. When Paul and Saul were in prison, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. You know, when I first traveled to Africa, it's not an easy place to travel, you know, and especially when you are moving from one nation to another nation in Africa. Well, you know, the brothers there, they are very confident, you know, they let things be, but I was beginning to learn, because when I was traveling in certain part of Africa, I'm new to the place and I do not want to miss the timetable. You know. So one morning I was supposed to go to the airport waiting for the transport, and waiting for the transport to come in. It was late. Didn't appear. So the brother was saying, I said, brother, I don't want to be late for the airport, you know, I gotta take a flight, go to another country where they have a convention. Brother God, No problem. It will come. You know how the African are. Just like, how far is it? Oh, just a little distance, you know, round the corner, this and that. And they're very relaxed. It seems that because it's part of their life. You know, no problem again. No problem. It will come. 5 minutes passes, still don't come. Yeah. I was just waiting and looking at my watch, and don't worry, brother, again, it'll come. So it finally came anyway, and we had to rush to the airport. Somehow this is the way things work in Africa, it seems. And also, in the Philippines, I was one time in the Philippines going to Brother Austin's Fellowship. That was back, I think, in the 80s. And you know, the plane service in the Philippines was not good. So, I was to take the billet from the flight of Manila to Butuan. And there are 3 francs a week, so I was on that day, I was waiting at the airport. We already got our boarding pass, this and that, so we're waiting, looking at the time. My goodness, the boarding time is already passed. And then announcer, so ladies and gentlemen, we are so sorry that we have the plane is there for an hour because of this, this, whatever. So we waited an hour. The announcement came again, said, so sorry, the plane is going to be a little longer. So 2 hours pass, and finally they say, sorry, we have to cancel the flight. And the answer was that they tell us was that there is a storm over in Butuan. You know, so there's no way for me to get to the next flight, which is not the day after tomorrow, because it's full. And they're not going to take the service plane and bring everyone tomorrow. No. So I have to send a telegram to Brother Osa. Back then, this telegram, there's no email, no text messages, huh? No SMS. And Brother Osa said, you know, Brother Ken, there's no storm here, there's nothing, the sky is clear. But you know, that's the way people give excuses, company or organization. But I was glad that I couldn't go there, never mind. But a week later, Brother Osa sent me a letter and said, Brother Ken, all is well, even though you're not here, we have a wonderful fellowship. You know. So, you know, God has His own purpose. God has His way. Right? And the same thing, you know, I couldn't come Friday, still trying to relax my throat. We have good service. I can see that every time I look into the fellowship, hearing your sharing, it's really a blessing. He said, and make your brothers more mature. That is very true. I tell you that. God has a way. You know, so that's why I told Brother Nice in Nigeria. You know, 3 times a day, I wanted to go, couldn't go. You say, I said, Brother, God has taken me out the way you people have to do some work. I told you what Brother said in India. I cannot go always to India because now I'm banned from going to India. Okay? I said, now you have to do your work. You have to do your work. He said, God has a purpose. God can always, you know, put me to God here every day, everywhere. But let the people who already know the word, take the word out. And that is so important about it. And so the brother, few brothers in Uganda said, Brother Ken, you have been a blessing to us. See, when you came here in 1990, we were young, we learned what you have said, and now we have our own fellowship. And you have your own little fellowship here in Deskat. You see, and that's God's will. And that's what God allowed the thing that happened to Paul and Silas. Alright? So now let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who against hope in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. This is Abraham and Sarah. I mean, God promised them. Just imagine, Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65. They waited for about 24 years before Sarah felt, you know, something in there, right? And 25 years before they have a child. Waiting for all to get 24 years just for the conception. And for 25 years before they have a son. Think about it. And Abraham never failed to believe and hold to the promise. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would perform it. So you see, no matter what comes, you know, and I said this when Abraham, when God made the covenant, then changed his name to Abraham. You see, he's quite a wealthy man, so to speak. Lots of sheep and goats and servants to help. And you know, I guess that when God talked to him, he told it to Sarah, and of course there will always be servants around, they heard it. You know, and they will say, oh, this old man, you know, is a bit queer up here. Yeah, you know, what is queer up here? Maybe he's autistic, you know, he goes around thinking of something, talking to somebody up there, you know, like talking to space. Yeah, we all are strangers in this world. But Abraham held to the faith. One year after another, one year after another. Perhaps some of the servants were laughing, were giggling behind his back. You see? But he held to the faith. Yet, yes, we know that Abraham made a mistake. Hearkened unto Sarah, and to the bond woman, and give birth to Ishmael, who become a pawn in the sight of Isaac. Oh, who will say to Israel today? But the thing is this, Abraham never failed to hold to the promise of God. So this is something you must understand. I remember back then in 19-something when Zohar went to America to Clovis, right? What year was that? 90-something, yeah. I think when he was there in Clovis. 1998, yeah. So he was there in Clovis, so you know, he went there and don't know any church there, of course, working there. And so I was concerned, yeah, but, well, put a part that the Lord will keep him safe. You know, that his faith would not, you know, when you go to a certain country, you work there, you get to meet with all these other guys and all those people out there, you know, you learn all sorts of things. You know what I mean? You see? So we just pray that the Lord will keep him, and the Lord did. And I remember Brother George Young. I don't know what year that was now. You know, when he came back to the fellowship, I still remember when he entered the fellowship, he was sitting right at the back with his wife. Then the following week, he was in front, about two or three rows from where I was, you know, where the table was, where, you know, we were having in the YMCA. And I don't know what it was. He was sitting there like, looking at me and this and that. Okay, I was preaching. And I remember I went home. In the evening, he called me up. He said, "Brother Gunn, can you go with me to minister to my sister? I think, if I remember, she has cancer, leukemia, or something like that." And I said, "Sure, why not?" You know? He said, "When you want to come and pick me up." You see, my table, I was sitting on my table and the wall was there and the telephone was on the wall, so I had to sort of get out of my chair a little bit and reach out to take the phone, right? That's what I talked to him. He said, "Well," he said, "come and pick me up tomorrow then, in the morning." I think it was around 10, 11 o'clock. He said, "Okay." So when I was hanging up the phone, now this is the way God performed very unusual way. So as I was about, when I hang the phone, I was sort of, what we call, paralyzed. You know, I was about to hang the phone, I was just like that. And the voice spoke like very clear to me inside. You know, and this is the word that spoke to me. "John has a fear of a dreadful disease." You know, it just blew my mind. So I was there for a moment and I hang up. But then I went to the kitchen and told Sister Tracy, my wife, and told her. I said, "The Lord just told me the brother John has a fear of a dreadful disease." Then my wife was asking me, "What is that?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Maybe cancer, maybe something else. I have no idea." So it was in the following morning that when Brother John came in the car and picked me up, and of course in the front of the seat, there was this car seat, a baby seat. I think that time was for Eno, I believe. So he does all remove it. So he said, "If apologize, can you sit behind?" I said, "Okay, no problem." So I sat behind. And sat behind where? Behind, directly behind the seat, the driver's seat. So as the car was pulling off from the car park, he pulled back to move forward. As he moved forward, and I just said to him, "Brother John, do you have this fear of a dreadful disease?" Well, he was sort of surprised. The car just kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit. He said, "Who told you that?" I said, "The Lord told me last evening." I said, "What is it? Cancer or something?" Then he told me, you know, what he was feeling because of the sinus bleeding and this and that, and a friend of his went for a biopsy and found it was cancerous, you know. So at the time I said, okay, leave it to the hand of God, we are going to pray for it, because at that time, following week or Sunday, we are going to have a communion. I said, we're going to have a communion, and then we're going to pray for you. And that's why I took over in a prayer, you know, rebuking Satan. And he went for the biopsy test, and the nurse told him, they told him, and he went for the result. Just to cut it short, the nurse said, you know, Mr. Chong, your biopsy is negative. There is no cancer there. But she told him, said, I have been working as a nurse for so long, every time a patient come in and took this biopsy, I look at it, I know that there are all these cancerous things when I look at it. And yours is just what I look at it to be cancer, but it isn't. You know, and it's when John said, hallelujah, and the nurse said, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian too. Well, I think John did not give you the testimony anyway. See, the thing is this, that God has His purpose. And I believe that God allows certain things to be manifest in our life. If what happened to me, if I don't give God the glory, I'm ashamed of it. But if something happened to me and you did something, and you know that God has a purpose of telling you to do something, you understand? For God to show some manifestation. Now, this is not the only time that God spoke to me in this way. I mean, it's as clear as to me inside, but I didn't hear the voice. But in India, when my son was in that condition, in the middle of the night, when the angel stood at the foot of my bed, I heard these three words as clear as could be. And I saw the presence of the Lord, the angel standing right at the foot of the bed. Speak the word. And I got up, I turned around and just put my hand on my son. You see, God has a purpose to delay him. I mean, you know, he was vomiting, he was having diarrhea. And he causes the brother in the church to pray when they had a convention. They were praying, some of them were praying throughout the night too. In the morning, you know, when we have a service, I told them everything is well. They were surprised. They said, oh, brother, we were praying. I said, yeah, it's good. And God sent an angel to you and so on. You see, God has will manifestation. So all we have to do as believers, we yield ourselves to God, knowing that God will do whatever it takes for Him to do it, and do it according to His own will. Amen. Do you understand that? Right? His will be done. Okay. Alright. Again, this is from the book, As a Man Thinketh. Suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It is an indication that the individual is out of harmony with himself, with the Lord of his being. The sole and supreme use of suffering is to purify, to burn out all that is useless and impure. Suffering ceases for him who is pure. There could be no object in burning gold after the dross has been removed, and a perfectly pure and enlightened being could not suffer. The circumstances which a man encounters with suffering are the result of his own mental inharmony. The circumstances which a man encounters with blessedness are the result of his own mental inharmony. Blessedness, not material possessions, is the measure of right thought. Righteousness, not lack of material possession, is the measure of wrong thought. A man may be cursed and rich. He may be blessed and poor. Blessedness and riches are only joined together when the riches are rightly and wisely used. And the poor man only descends into wretchedness when he regards his lot as a burden unjustly imposed. Next. Indigence and indulgence are the two extremes of wretchedness. They are both equally unnatural and the result of a mental disorder. A man is not rightly conditioned until he is happy healthy and prosperous being. And happiness, health, and prosperity are the result of a harmonious adjustment of the inner with the outer of the man with his surroundings. A man only begins to be a man when he ceases to whine and revile and commences to search for the hidden justice which regulates his life. And as he adapts his mind to that regulating factor, he ceases to accuse others as the cause of his condition and builds himself up in strong and noble thoughts. Ceases to kick against circumstances but begins to use them as aids to his more rapid progress and as a means of discovering the hidden powers and possibilities within himself. So you see, this is important. Don't nag, nag, nag and blame, blame, blame. So let our mind be in the quietness and confidence of God. Isaiah 30 verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. Remember what Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 46:10 is what the psalmist said. Simple, isn't it? So, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Proverbs 15:28. I like this one too. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous study to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pour out evil things. Study to answer. Study to show yourself true unto God. So what study means, the inquiries and confidence, think about the Lord, you know, having that relationship, friendship with Christ, our mind will be stable. Because that's our faith, remember? And so if our mind is sound because of the faith, then our confession will be a confession to life and to happiness. I find that if a Christian is defeated, grumbling about this and about this and about that, there will be no end to it. That means you are staggering in unbelief. What does can't we believe God? Abraham, he had 25 years. So 25 years, just imagine waiting and waiting. You know, they were young and 75, still okay. 65 for a seller, they still have some ache in there. You know, and they try hard to get a child, they try hard to get conceived, but by the time, you know, Sarah reached 80 something, already is gone, the eggs are gone. You know, today, of course, the menopause, woman menopause around 55 to 60, is some, you know, everything starts to go down. But back then, Abraham lived about 175 years old, I believe. You know, so 90 years old is the middle. Today we have 60 years old, which is the middle of 120 years of our lifespan. So they waited until they were dried up. That's why I sell the love. Everything is gone. But Abraham still on, believe. That's why they spoke a word, and the angel came and speak the word, and everything changed. And so I believe in the power of the spoken word. I believe that's what the word is, what changes a person. When we receive the word of eternal life, hear the word, taking heed to what we hear and how we hear. When we study to answer, we consider what the word study in another way. We say, consider the answer. Well, we cannot answer anything properly when we don't study the word. So when we study the word and we know the truth and knowledge, then we consider how we answer in a way that people should understand. And our life, how we confess to life eternal and to confess to happiness. That's why the woman that, you know, was it a Shunammite woman? I will keep on forgetting it was a Shunammite woman with Elijah. You know, Shunammite woman, you know, and she only had a little oil lamp and some flour. you know. And the child, you know, said, we're gonna eat the last loaf of bread, whatever, you know, and then we die because there was a famine. And Elijah said, well, you give it to me. You make it and give it to me. Now, look at our faith. Knowing that this man is a man of God. My goodness, a man of God. Come on, man. You are a man of God. Why are you so selfish? You know, this is the last part we want to eat. We want to die, right? Correct. And you as a man of God, you should know. You know, she never said anything like that. She said, I'm going to give it to him. Anyway, he wants it, give it to him. We are going to die anyway. Let bless God should be done. And he's a man of God. Let me respect him. And God did something wonderful. Right? The oil never dried up. The flour never dried up. It's still until the drought was over or the famine was over. You see. So, study to answer. It means consider how you answer it. Consider how you approach to life. Your word means a lot. Amen. Alright, so let's see now. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. I believe, therefore I speak. You see, that this lead apostle, this man who king himself, somebody made all this prophecy, they failed. He believed, he confessed, but it didn't come to pass. You know, Brother Bam said that he believed that by the 1977, the church age would be over. Remember? I mean, he just said, but he said, I do not prophesy, I predict. So that's okay. But the crime to have a touch of the Lord, you make God a liar. Do you understand that? You see. Now, therefore, as it's written, what the Bible says, will be a burden. Let me ask you. Are you going to make the rapture? I don't know, man. I hope so. I think so. I wish so. Maybe. I believe I'm going to make the rapture. By making the confession, it means I believe the word. I study the word to consider. Is that not true? And the same thing, you know, if my ministry is over and God take me home, I did it so. Somebody else will take over, I don't know. You see. Alright. So let us confess to life. Romans 10:6-11. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what say it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. But you know, with all the evidence out there, in nature, creation, I believe the same Bible too. I can believe. But you know, I've been a soul witness for so many years, witnessing to whoever that I can. But a lot of people say, prove to me God, prove to me God, prove to me God. That God is real, that God is real. You understand? Okay, can you prove to me God? Let me ask you. Brother Jimmy, prove to me that you are alive. That you are real. Your wife said, no, you're on the head. It's the way you know your life. You know, Adam, when my grandson Adam one day when he was me, he said, Adam, you know, we're talking about dreams. So how do you know that what we are talking right now, that you are, that is not a dream? He says, pinch yourself. And I know, pinch yourself, it is not a dream. I said, well, I'll pinch myself, but I don't know what is in a dream. The thing is that it's not possible to prove that you are alive. How do you prove that you are alive? Let me tell you something, Brother Jimmy. You think that you are here? Actually, you are dreaming. Or maybe it's me who are dreaming that you are here. There's no way you can prove that you are alive, that it's not, that it can be somebody's dream. You know, there's some people say, prove to me that God is real, prove to me that God is real, is exists and all this. I remember my friend Peter Wong, I told you about, you know, the time when I witnessed to him when we were in the hospital. He doesn't believe in God. He said, prove to me God and I believe. I said, okay, so simply all you do when you're on night duty, and after all the patients went to bed, and you're free, just get out of the ward in the field and look up. And then you tell me next time when we see each other. And that's what happened. A week later, he met me in the corridor. I said, Richard, come. I said, what? Yeah, there's a God. Talk to me now. Tell me about the gospel. That's what brought him to Christ. And with that, he gave the gospel to his family. His family all became Christian. Turned away from all those traditional faith that they have in idols and whatever other religion. Think about it. You see, to prove to you God, all you have to do is look at the nature, look at the creation. If this is all this to appear without God, then there's no God. And if there is no God, if this thing appears, then you must be a fool. I haven't said that it's very true. The Bible says, the fool said there is no God. With all the evidence, isn't it true? Right. Okay, so I know one thing, that God's Spirit witnessed to my heart. If you ask me, prove that God exists, I only can tell you one thing. God's Spirit witnessed my heart that I'm a child of God. That's all that I can tell you. Because that somehow is all that I need. You know, when we have a summer, we should be able, as I said, to study to answer. And as we also read earlier in Isaiah, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That's why meditation is important. Spend time with the Lord. Yeah, walk with God. If you want, take a walk in the park with the Lord Jesus Christ, talk to Him. At the seaside, go out there, sit by the seaside, talk to Him. Yeah, that's what is so important. That's a sound mind. It's all that I need. You know, to hear about God's voice. Spiritually discern. Matthew 13:53-58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished this parable, he departed thence. And when he was come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, in so much that they were astonished, and said, whence have these men this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sister, are they not all here with us? When then have these men all this same? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. But let me say this right here in this passage. We all know it very well. Do you know that there are 7 questions in this passage? Jesus went back to his hometown, which is Nazareth. He's always in the synagogue, preaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I believe this is the Sabbath. And he was preaching there, and you know, was, and the religious Pharisees, Sadducees, and all those men listening and scrub listening to him, say, wow. And they start asking questions. You know, the people were astonished, even these religious people were astonished at the way that Jesus was preaching. Then they start asking questions. Question number 1. Where have this man this wisdom? Where did he get this wisdom? Number 2. Where did he get this power to do all these mighty works? Number 3. Is not this the carpenter's son, Joseph's son? And is not this his mother? Number 4, that is not this his mother called Mary?
Number five, the fifth question. It's not this, it's brethren. Here James and Joseph and Simon and Judah. We all know them. And it's not this, it's sister. That's question number six. Are they not all here with us? And then the last question. When have this man all this thing? What is this man got all this thing that he knows? Where did he get it? Question, question, question. Too many questions. You see, it's not the problem about asking, it's not about question that is asked properly in trying to understand knowledge. Over there saying, this is the carpenter's son. And not this is brother. Huh? And this mother Mary, you know something we heard that this man is born a bastard. Illegitimate child. Before Joseph and Mary, and the mother come along, you know, Mary is already pregnant with it. So, they ask this, they ask that, and that. And what the Bible said? They were offended in him. Why? Because it was in their own little town. Actually, Nazareth is not really a town, but it's not even a city, so it's between. Growing up. And but we know everybody here, man. You know, prophet here, come on. Kind of be questioning. You see, they do not seek to be quiet and to learn. They do not seek to study what this man is saying and try to find the answer to truth. No. The first thing is, yeah, he can teach very well. But this is a carpenter's son. And brother Joseph here and there, the man, we know all this. They were offended with him. You see, I think this is very true in many countries here, even modern day. You know what I'm saying? They want the foreign man to come from other great country, like America, Europe, to come to their country, Africa, India, Philippines, the whole convention. And everywhere I go, I always tell the people there, I told the minister's meeting, God is able to raise up from among you able men to do God's will. You think they only come from America, Europe? Huh? You know who are they? You know what we prefer to have people come and visit us? Our people are brown eyes from Africa, you know, brown to be, you know what I mean, brother, Sabra, no. We don't need some people look to the first world country like America or Europe to come to their fellowship and convention. And truly what you said is true. A prophet has no honor in his own country and in his own house. They can't. You say, not possible. In our city, not possible. In Singapore, not possible. I must come from KL, Kuala Lumpur. Or some other country, you know. Or maybe like Beijing. No, New York. Why? You know, Brother Bram was born in Kentucky, in a little place that is not well known, not famous, eh? You see. So, that is why. Okay? So, and that's why Jesus cannot do any mighty work. Jesus marveled at their unbelief and he walked away. Only healing all and the sick and afflicted and left them. When we are on the post question is real. Don't ask questions like what these religious people are asking. Foolishly. Just trying to brush the way. You know. It's just at the brand of mind. I'm just discussing something. Oh, Brother Bram said, they're just literally brushing away. They're offended with what I'm trying to say. I said, this is about the Bible. So, but Brother Bram said, you know, when somebody tries to show the scripture and you just, you know, what scripture is true, but you want to use Brother Bram to overwrite the scripture, then I can only say one thing. You are a fool. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Interesting. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So you see the negative side, the positive side. This thing happened, but we are not. But still we are. Whatever happened, that is not we are. Still around, that is to say. For we live, for which life are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal body. Oh, it was what the apostle said, you know, here, we are always delivered unto death. But yet, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in your life. So the apostle said, we die daily, we are facing death every time, but for your sake. So the Christ will be alive in you. We are dying in Christ, but Christ may be alive in you, manifest in you. So then death work in us, but life in you. Remember Noah, and God told Noah, be an ark. I'm going to send a flood. So Noah started building the ark with his children. And of course, the people get around and start laughing and says, well, what are you building an ark for? And he's preaching to them, you know, the Lord is going to send a flood of water. The son is, what flood? What flood are you talking about? Now, the Bible did not say God sent rain. The Bible did not say, God said, I'm going to send a flood by rain or from above. The Bible did not say, the Bible just said, I'm going to send a flood. So the people said, no, what are we talking about? You mean the rain come up? You mean the water come from above? We thought the water has always come from below. Yeah, okay. So if the earth is watered by, from water by the midst of the ground up, well, you think God is not possible for God to flood the whole earth just by bringing the water up? God said the flood, you don't have to go figure that out. And people don't believe it. How do you prove that there's going to be water from above? We never have water coming down from above. And I always wonder about water. And you know, what is water? H2O. Well, do you think they can take it to H2O? Is it possible? I mean, I'm not in the lab. You take H2O, you have two cups of H2O, I mean, two tubes of H2O, one tube of O, and mixed together. Is it possible to bring water? No. Right? It must go to a certain way of producing it. Am I not right? Yeah. There's some, I don't know, you would take two tubes of hydrogen, one tube of oxygen, try to mix it and see whether it can become water. It doesn't work that way. So, you see, God has a way of bringing things. It's just what the Bible said. The water flows down the river into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Right? The water comes down from the river, the Bible says, somewhere, and it goes down the sea. The sea is still not full. As you see, it comes down as rain and fall upon the mountain, it comes down. You see, God has a way of doing things. That's, you know, you look at what the creation is so marvelous, and yet we have people that say, there is no God, and I just look at them, and I feel so sorry for them. You know, the Bible also tells us this. I guess one thing about it. The star fixed in heaven. And yet they have a path. Because when they have a path, I mean, how the whole thing, look at the way our earth moves, we see it seem to be moving, and there are some times that the stars seem to be aligned some way. But, you know, it's fixed in the position. And yet the Bible tells us that in the ocean, do you know that there are rivers in the ocean? Hey, on the ocean floor, there are rivers. There is a path that the water will move. And there is a path in the air. In our air. And you know when the birds fly? They want to fly from one point to another. They don't go in a straight line. Huh? When they migrate, they don't go in a straight line. They flow with the air current. There's a path. I didn't know until I saw one documentary about the path in the ocean floor. I couldn't believe it. You could see that the water is moving in the ocean floor. Think about that. Yeah, so, scientists. Tell me what his name. You can prove, the scientists can say this and this and that and this and that. They produce this, add this to that, they produce that, and whatever, you know. But can, what is man? They themselves are man, but they don't even know what they are. He feels sorry so for them. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. I like this. Let us hold fast the profession. You know what profession means? Confession. We profess it. We confess it. It's not for you to profess something and don't use it. That's why a lot of people have Bibles in the home, they just put it on the shelf for display. Yeah, in America, not many people have Bibles. But do they use it? Only when they're in trouble, as you know. We're in trouble, we start to pray to God and all that. And then when somebody says the answer is fine, the Bible, okay, they take the Bible out and then they turn, you need mini money more, you need mini money, and put the finger in it and say, okay, now I need the verse. Yeah. And if I knew the verse, oh, Judas hang himself. Then, oh no, that's not the answer. Mini, mini, mini more, put a finger there. Oh, go and do likewise. Yeah, Judas hang himself, you go and do likewise. That's not God, how God answers your prayer, but mini, 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 mini more. Hey, this is the Bible that John, in the book of Revelation, right? Because God says, eat it. Eat it. Right. Psalms 34, verse 9 to 10. Let us hope for, all fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger. But there that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And we have no lack. Okay? Malachi 2, 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you said, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of God and he delight in them, where is the God of judgment? Yeah, you know, a lot of people just full of complaint to the Lord and say that, God is not fair. I have heard people say that. You know, look at a man now, there's not a question. Look at his the material good that he has. Look at his possession. Me, I believe in God all this year, I don't get anything. I'm struggling. But you know, you confess so much about your negativity, you don't confess that. How do you expect it? I could have found a good job. What? The what? You think you'll be able to find a good job to give you a salary of $10,000 a month, or $5,000 a month? Just because you have some degree, some paper? Can you start from bottom up? And that's one thing I learned. When God allows me to not have the proper certificate, because I didn't pass my English, I start to do small job. And I know how hard it is. But that is perseverance. God allows it until when I repeat my English and I pass my test. But then it's still because of all this grading thing, you know, the group here that is not sufficient. What? It's supposed to be a grade one or not, at least grade two right now, because the grouping is not there. So God, that's okay. So God saying, go and be a nurse. He threw me inside the mental hospital. You know, that's a struggle. You know, you're dealing with this. I'm a Christian. I have some. Yep, you have some. Here, these are unsound people. And put that to the train. You know, hard work do not kill a person. Right? Yeah, sure. When you sit at home too much, you die. Look at Israel as a nation. 1948. Well, you know, when they became 1948, May 14th, or May 16th. I forgot, May 14th. You see what happened overnight, 24 hours later, six nations start to fight for everything. Gang up together to kill, destroy Israel. Why? 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 People ask why? Isn't that the same as China? Yeah? Israel suffered because they rejected the Lord. They rejected the Messiah. So we always wonder how God, you know, performed his work
He has a purpose. So I wonder in His, well, you know, God, the Bible says His wonders to perform. Remember the Bible about His wonder perform. So I wonder at His wonders to perform, why He did what He did in the way He did. Huh? Okay, you know what I'm saying? I wonder as to His wonders to perform, why He did what He did in the way He did. But you know, God has will, God do it the way He wanted it. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 to 16. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, God will have destroyed Israel, actually. Remember how God told Moses, you step aside, let me destroy this nation and start over again with you. Right? Moses said, what? People are laughing at you. All the nation will laugh at you. He promised Abraham. He promised to this seed. His seed. And now you want to get rid of them and start with me? Nah. It's not that God doesn't know. But God wants to see His servant reaction too. And that's what God says in Malachi. Malachi prophesied, I am the Lord. I change not. And because of that, if not for that, you will be consumed. Right? Even from the day of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But you say, why do we have to go back? Why do we have to return? You say, how important is God's ordinances? The churches are not doing it. The churches have their own view. Israel are doing the same thing. They even sacrifices instead of a proper, healthy animal, they even offer a crippled one to God, a sick one to the Lord. So if you want God, give God an offering, hey, give up with all your heart. Don't grudgingly. Now, Lord, the offering. You know what I mean? Like kids giving money and putting back. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, why have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, in the Philippines, there was all this on the Facebook on one time, some months back or last year. There was all this argument about tithes and offering. And there is nowhere in the Bible or New Testament that we Christians have to give tithes. You know? So, you know, the people, those who know me, are trying to make people to understand from my book, from what I've written. And I've said, you know, it's not all about paying tithe. It's not all about tithe itself. Tithe is just a word, means ten. You know, so just put by the tithe. If you want to, use the word offering. But we're not commanded to give offering. He said, that's true. Right. But if the people under the law were to pay tithes, yeah, we are grace. We don't even give. What they give? A tenth. If we cannot give a tenth, less than a tenth, we have this grace. Is that not right? Yes. But people just do not understand this giving. Oh yes, it's just a gift. But God said to Israel, you are cursed with a curse where you robbed me. So bring all the tithes into my storehouse. See, it's all about the storehouse of God. But of course in Pentecostal, charismatic preacher, and even today in some anti-message churches, all the tithes goes to the pastor. God have mercy. Do you understand? It's a storehouse of God. That the gospel, the truth can go out and be a blessing to those who do not have it. That there may be meat, since meat, food in my house. And prove me now, said the Lord, if I would not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's very true. How many of you experienced it? If you really believe and be given your tithes freely with joy to the Lord, if you don't experience that, something is wrong. Huh? I have taught my children
When I start working, I give a part of money to Tracy, and she, from there she give up, she will take a tenth. When I get my salary from when I was working at that time, or even when I become full time, I took a small portion. I give a tenth to the Lord. Then from what I have remained, I give half of it or so to Tracy to for the household good and food. When she took the money, she gave a tenth out of it to the Lord. Then she gave some to Joel and Zoe as pocket money in school. And they give a tenth to the Lord. So in all, how much does my whole household give? So if I have 2,000, I give 200. From there, 1,800, I give a portion for the household. Okay, for the food and Joel. And my wife give a tenth out of that before he give it to the children. And the children give a tenth also. So it's all about giving, not calculating. Lord, you know, there's so much, you know, 2,000, I give 200, that's a lot. That's what happened to the Philippines. You know, Brother Ourselves Church back then in the 80s, they were grumbling. And I said, the law, you grumble, you don't give to the Lord, that's the amount of salary you will get for the rest of your life. Believe in what God says. And he said, prove me now. Prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The blessing can come in any form. You may be working here, and after 6 months or 2 years, the company say, okay, I promote you. You get twice the amount of salary. What else? The blessing may be that you will not get sick. Have good hospital and pay a bill for the hospital. That's right. And so I believe in God's word, therefore I practice it, I give it. Not expecting God to bless me. Just do what God said and believe that He will bless you too, of course. Alright. And he said this, verse 11, now rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the ground. Means the fruits of the ground where you work, the thing that you do in the farm. Or even as a worker, nothing will take away from you. Alright? And neither shall thy vine cast a fruit before the time in the field. That means you lose a job or whatever happened. Even if you lose your job, God will put you in another place than you expected. Huh? And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stalked against me. You've been proud. Your words are so boastful. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is there that we have kept his covenant? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord God. And people complaining, moaning, grumbling about giving tithes. That's what very common. Huh? And now we call the proud happy. There the world wickedness are set up. Yeah, there the temple of God are even delivered. You complain. You say, yeah, the people are not Christian, better. And then there the fear of the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. So the people come together and they begin to testify and confess as true, and the Lord heard what they say, and God blessed them. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and them that thought upon his name. Turn away now, my son, my confess to life, confess to happiness, not grumbling. Right? See, you see, look, brother Jimmy, hey, you retire, you got a job. And got free durian. Huh? And now coming our story, you're going to be free Ramadan. I mean, it's all about happiness. Am I not right? Yeah. Listen, someone sent me a link to a Facebook regarding an opposition party complaining about the FTA and the sicker, you know, about a foreigner coming to work. And then, I know, there was a picture posing about an old lady hunchback, and he says that we in the food court or what they call the coffee shop area. I don't know where they took the picture, but there were two women, elderly women. And one of them was kind of hunched, pushing a cart, collecting all those, utensils, the crockeries. And then it seems to be a question, are we, our nation going to be like that? Come on! If you see an old lady out there in the food court clearing the plate, right? Hunch over. You mean this is what our nation is going to become? No. It is just this old lady just want to do work. That's what happened. My neighbor, 80 plus year old lady, so healthy. And she is collecting, she's also washing utensils, you know, collecting all the utensils left on the table, cleaning up the table. And you say, wow, you are so healthy and still working. You say, yeah, healthy, I'm still working, yeah. Well, you know, he gets benefits. Some people want to be independent. That's true. Be happy. If you ask a lady, elderly lady, you're 80 years old, don't work, stay home. Stay home, you want me to sit at home and die? He will tell you that. I'd rather work. How about don't kill a person? Do you understand? So whatever comes into my hand, give it to the Lord. I remember years ago, it was all complaining about how much your tithes are given, the whole gross salary or the basic salary. Stranger, what people ask the question. Let me tell you one very simple, what comes into your hand? It doesn't matter. Somebody give you an angpao, give $1,000, you know, give. The 100 belongs to the Lord, even so. It just comes to your hand. It's up to you. There's no fix and fast rule from this pulpit. I'm just telling you, be happy and give what belongs to the Lord. Keep God's ordinance, fellowship together, foot washing, communion, baptism, right? Rejoice in the Lord. And I said to you always, rejoice. Let's quickly go on now. Proverbs 12:2. A few more passages and then we close. I know I've got to rush through because I want to finish all this. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:2-3. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. How you open your mouth, what you say is very important. Just read what this man here, James Allen, as a man thinker. I love this book. So simple and so straightforward. The body is a servant of the mind. It obeys the operations of the mind, whether they be deliberately chosen or automatically expressed at the biting of unlawful thoughts. The body sinks rapidly into disease and decay. At the command of glad and beautiful thoughts, it becomes clothed with youthfulness and beauty. Disease and health, like circumstances, are rooted in thought. Sickly thought will express themselves through a sickly body. Thoughts of fear have been known to kill the man as speedily as a bullet, and they are continually killing thousands of people just as surely, though less rapidly. Is it not true? Now, the people who live in fear of disease are the people who get it. Oh, is it not true? As a man thinker, so is he, that's so true. Well, I'm going to get COVID. I'm going to get COVID, so you get it. Huh? Why were you so fearful? Anxiety quickly demoralizes the whole body and lays it open to the creature of disease. One impure thoughts, even if not physically indulged, will soon shuttle the nervous system. That's how blood problem is. Our body is all a hormone. We fear. We're scared. The moment we do, the whole body reacts. Strong, pure, and happy thoughts build up the body in vigor and grace. The body is a delicate and plastic instrument which responds readily to the thoughts by which it is impressed. And habits of thought will produce their own effects, good or bad, upon it. Man will continue to have impure and poisoned blood so long as they propagate unclean thoughts. Out of a clean heart comes a clean life and a clean body. Out of a defiled thought proceeds a defiled life and a corrupt body. Thought is the fount of action. Life and manifestation. Make the fountain pure and all will be pure. change of diet will not help a man who will not change his thought. Nah? You understand that? I'm so fat of myself, eat last this, blah, blah. Change of diet will not help a man who will not change his thoughts. When a man makes his thoughts pure, he no longer desires impure food. Clean thoughts make clean habits. The so-called saint, who does not wash his body, is not a saint. He who has strengthened and purified his thoughts does not need to consider the malevolent microbe. If you would perfect your body, guard your mind. If you would renew your body, beautify your mind. Thoughts of malice, envy, disappointment, despondency rob the body of its health and grace. A sour face does not come by chance. It is made by sour thoughts. Yeah, your face is always sour. No, my face is always like that. Yeah, your face is born like that? Nah. You know, you grow up behaving like that, but you can change by the renewing of your mind. Such a boy. You know, they said there are only two vessels that they pull our mouth now. But it takes, I think, 24 or 36 muscles to pull to smile. You know, there's more muscle to smile. You know, when you do this, you know that you can feel the tension. But when you do this, no tension. It's easy to put our hands down, but it's difficult to lift our hands up and surrender to God. Right? To worship God with our lifted hands, very hard. Because it's a weight. But when you put it down, it's easy. That's my problem with you. So the Bible says, lift up your hand and praise the Lord. Let me quickly go through now. Psalms 109, 17 to 20. Psalms 109, 17 to 20. Has he loved cursing? So let it come unto him. Has he delighted not in cursing? So let it be far from him. Has he clothed himself with cursing? Like as with his garment? So let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which clothed him. And for the God of God will he gird continually. That's true. When you want to open your mouth, you curse and curse and curse and curse. It becomes a habit. You're actually pressing, you're wearing the word, I mean, the Bible uses the word garment of, the garment of cursing. And you use the girdle to gird it, and so you will not get away from it. You know, young people, when you're young, everyone, you're young, right? You have often heard your colleague get very upset and stuff, because, right? Don't listen to it. That's why I told Adam, when people say some bad word, don't copy it. My neighbor, there's the basketball court, youngsters in their team, they're in their secondary school, playing basketball. And I just walk past and I can hear them using their effort so freely. So freely. Where did this ever come from? It's America. That's why I say America creates a lot of junks in the world. They must have copying it. It's terrible. It's just so like nothing. It's just like water from your mouth. Proverbs 12:18. That is that speak like the piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. But the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:18. That's true. The tongue. Master of cursing comes from your tongue. Hebrews 10:23. Two more passage. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The one we already mentioned earlier. Oh, but the sickness is real. Yes, I know the sickness is real. But can you not confess it? That the Lord will heal you? Or can you confess the word that you believe and leave it to the Lord? Huh? Pray for me. Yes, pray for yourself also. You request prayer, but don't forget to pray for yourself. Don't expect people in the church just to pray for you, and you just sit back and expect some miracle. He that seek me, as the Lord said, will find me. He that seek me early will find me. The book, the Epistle of 3 John, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. That is because there's only one chapter per verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice gladly when the brethren came and testify of the truth as in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Psalms 144:15. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yeah, happy is that people whose God is Yahweh. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yeah, happy is that people whose God is Yahweh. If you have Yahweh, you have the Word. So if you have the Word, that faith that God has given, Yahweh has given to Yahshua, the revelation, and we receive that faith, our mind got to be renewed. Yes, renewing of the mind. And therefore let us confess. Confess to life, confess to happiness. This is what we should do. Because if we have a sound mind, we should live that life that is sound, pure, and healthy. Amen? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I'm fast man, but we thank you for your grace. Let our word, O Father, has been taught all these few weeks, Lord, that it sing into our heart. That we be one, O Father, in mind and purpose as regarding what the word is to us, Father. Let our mind, Father, be really renewed. Leave all the old man aside, not conform to the world, but just renew our mind in thy word, Father. That, Lord, we live the way they want us to live in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Father, we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.